Welcome to The Word in 10, a podcast of Dwell Community Church. I'm Jim Leffel, a longtime teacher here at Dwell Community Church, and we're continuing on a study about the issue of unity from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 21. And so we read in verse 16 that this one new man, which establishes peace, and that we might be reconciled both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. And so now Paul talks about the real issue that faces us with those with whom we are alienated. Not only forgiveness, yes, that's in play and that will be incorporated into this paragraph, but also something on another level altogether. He calls it enmity. Enmity, meaning a lingering hostility, anger, distrust, suspicion, acrimony. The reality is that even in the context of forgiving, pain and alienation in relationships can persist. And that's really what this paragraph is all about. So a question just to get us thinking. How does forgiveness lead to healing, to restored relationships, to overcoming this enmity? And I'd like to begin by sharing a story of a very famous Jewish rabbi of the last century who migrated from Europe to the United States in the 1930s, where he would take up more education and his career in teaching Torah. In the 1930s, of course, things were heating up in Europe, and this man, Abraham Heschel, had to look at this circumstances of his people from a distance. And as he did, and as the war broke out, and as we all know what happened in the Holocaust, Abraham Heschel began to reflect on his faith, on his ethnicity, on humanity in general. And in studying his classic book called The Prophets, he raises this penetrating question, rooted not only in Israel's history, but in his own personal history and the contemporary circumstance of the Jewish people during World War II. He asks, what is history? Wars, victories, and wars. So many dead, so many tears, so little regret, so many fears. And who can sit in judgment over the victims of cruelty when their horror turns to hatred? Is it easy to keep the horror of the wicked from turning into hatred of the wicked? The world is drenched in blood and the guilt is endless. Should not all hope be abandoned? And you can just see his own pain reaching through the words that he is using here. But then turning to the scriptures, he says, what saved the prophets from despair was their messianic vision, the idea of man's capacity for repentance. He says, the God of Israel is also the God of her enemies, without their knowing him and despite their defying him. And the enmity between the nations will turn to friendship in that day. And what tremendous courage it took for Abraham Heschel to recognize in the writing of the prophets the truth about the God who has the capacity to bring even the most alienated into a level of unity that is an intimate peace. Well, Paul goes on in chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and he cites the very prophets about whom Abraham Heschel is referring. And he says in verse 17, quoting Isaiah chapter 57, and he came and he preached to you who were far off, and a peace to you who were near. For through him we have our access by one Spirit to the Father. And so this is a very profound, I think, and moving passage from Isaiah chapter 57. The full text reads, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore him. Peace, peace to him who is far and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. That is the passage that Paul is referring to here. We can extend forgiveness and learn how to reconcile as a response to God's reconciling work in our own lives. That's the point here. Healing, comfort, peace, both to those who are far off, far from God, and those who are near. That salvation reaches as far as the effects of sin themselves. And so right standing with God reconciles estranged parties. God with humans, where Paul says in Romans 5, verse 10, that we were enemies and that Christ reconciled us through his cross. And also then here, it is possible to be reconciled with human beings, with those with whom we are alienated, where we have a beef, where we have pain. I'd like to talk about a miraculous transformation and a word of hope. There is freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness provides the opportunity for true reconciliation. And we learn a lot from our global partners, our brothers and sisters around the world who are living in much more difficult circumstances than we are. And in West Africa, we have partners who are working in Liberia, in Guinea, in Ghana, in the Ivory Coast, in Burkina Faso, and Benin, and Togo, and this whole Francophone West African context. And they are working across tribal lines, across national lines, and they are encountering very broken people who have long experienced enmity with other tribes. After a 20-year war in Liberia, our partner Wilson Tioko says of the Liberians, they returned to their village and they saw the murderers of their parents. And some, seeing that they had fled the war, took the opportunity to appropriate their land. So what's happened is that in a civil war, one village rises up against another based upon tribal identity and things like that. In this case, wielding machetes, hacking other villagers, one village takes over another and people flee. And this is what he's describing here. But then it says, now returning after the war, they must live with the murderers of their parents, even though they have lost everything. And so, yes, they return to their village to find their homes taken over, their fields taken from them, and there they are, left with nothing. He says, many have decided to take revenge for what happened and refuse to forgive. Our message in Liberia is only based on God's love and forgiveness. Many people are trying to forgive those who killed and stole everything they had. We are often confronted with ourselves, and we ask people as we ask ourselves to forgive so that we may have the freedom of forgiveness. What a powerful word this is, the freedom of forgiveness he describes here. That under grace, we could move towards others with a measure of understanding, of humility, even compassion toward those who have clearly done us wrong. Because we have done God wrong, because we have been his enemy, and yet he has extended grace and forgiveness and mercy to us, we have the potential, we have the foundation, we have the capacity to turn around then and offer this forgiveness to others. This is a forgiveness that is not merely deciding to not hold them accountable to our wrath, but rather is something much deeper. It's a reconciliation. It is the ability with humility to move towards another with compassion and understanding, an attempt to really forge bonds uniquely in Christ that will enable us to become one in him. How does this relate to us? Many of us are not free. We're carrying the heavy weight of enmity. We're not free of the anger, the bitterness, the suspicion that has come into our hearts through difficult relationships and wrongs done against us. And it affects all of our relationships as we remain isolated, critical, lonely, and we feel far from God. And so my suggestion is that we begin with how God moved toward you and to reconcile you to himself at enormous cost. This is the argument of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. And then we think about the kind of love that seeks to liberate the guilty from their bondage. And if we begin with that understanding of ourselves and how vast the love of God has been for us, it will enable us then to have a more sympathetic ear to the wrongs done by us, to us, by others. And so that concludes our discussion of reconciliation. The next time we want to talk about profiles in unity as described by Paul at the end of chapter 2.